Good morning, folks. Happy Wednesday. Welcome to Keep Believing. My name is Ray Pritchard. Here it is, the middle of the week, hump day, as they say, making our way through. Well, at least here in Kansas City, this is a beautiful week so far, beautiful Wednesday morning. I hope the weather's good. I hope you're having a good week wherever you are. At Keep Believing, we like to say our name is our mission. We want to help you believe in Jesus and then find the courage, the strength, and the optimistic faith to keep on believing in Him. And just a reminder, as always, if you want to listen to this program again or any of our programs, so easy to do. Go to afr.net. At the top it says, you'll see a link that says podcast. Click on that and drop all the way down in that menu to Keep Believing. Click on that. All of our programs are archived there. You can listen to any of them online, or you can download any of them for free to your own device. Listen at your convenience. So I haven't mentioned the holidays this week, but I was checking on it, and today is National Visit Your Relatives Day. Well, I have questions, but I think that's a great idea. Visit your relatives, okay? We should do that. This is also National Cheese Soufflé Day. And all I can say is it's been a long time since I've had a cheese soufflé, but still a good idea. And my favorite, one we can all, I think we can unite as Americans around this one. This is National Eat a Reese's Day, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. This is the food of heaven, chocolate and peanut butter, two divine concoctions put together. So visit your relatives, have a cheese souffle, and then maybe go and pick up a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. In any case, happy Wednesday. We are very glad you're with us. Now, this week, we're thinking about Jesus and women. That's a great topic. You should study the life of Jesus and all the different women he met and how he treated them. He was a revolutionary in the way he treated women in the first century. And the revolution continues to this day. Jesus is the great lover of the women that he knew. He loved them. He cared for them. He encouraged them. He gave them strength. We're looking today at four women who met Jesus. This week, that is. Four women. Monday, the woman caught in the act. Yesterday, the woman with a thirsty heart. Today, the woman with a sick daughter. Thursday, tomorrow, the woman who shocked the men. This is a very fun story. Great lesson there. And then Friday, prayer time. We're going to take your prayer request, and I'll pray with you over the air. It's a great time for us to bring our needs, prayer requests to the Lord. Okay, today, the woman with a sick daughter. Well, you know what I'm going to do? Rather than talk about the story, how about if I read it to you, and then we'll talk about it. This is from Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 21. So just listen to this story. Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him and began to shout, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away because she keeps on crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Let's focus just for a moment here at the beginning on verse 26. Jesus said, "It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. This may be the strangest thing Jesus ever said. It is and remains very controversial. It sounds rude, harsh, unkind. Some people have said Jesus was angry at the woman and wanted to be rid of her. Many people consider these words offensive. And I should say, there are some people who believe the Bible but come to this story and are just deeply troubled by the way that it unfolds. They think it's, well, and I understand, it sounds like a doctor. When a sick child is brought to a doctor and he says, "Get away from me. You're not the right race. You're not the right religion. I don't want to be around you. I don't want to help you." It appears to be race-based discrimination. "I'm Jewish. You're a Gentile. You're a dog. Get away from me." Okay, but before we conclude that Jesus was wrong, and some people have come to that conclusion, some people have said this story really shouldn't be in the Bible, or it reveals to us something ugly about our Lord. Before we conclude that Jesus was wrong, we need to go back and take a look at the words of the text. And I do want to promise you this. I think we will come to a different kind of conclusion at the end of this hour, but we got to look at what the text says. So we just go back to the very first words in verse 21. Jesus withdrew, meaning he left the region of Israel, which was, remember, I talked yesterday about Galilee and Samaria and Judea. They were stacked on top of each other. The Jews lived primarily in Judea, but many of them lived up in Galilee. And that's where Jesus did most of his ministry, in Judea and in Galilee. Now, we're told in this story, Jesus withdrew from that region, the region of Galilee. He left the primarily Jewish region of Israel. He went north. Today, we would call it modern day Lebanon. He went to two famous cities. You can still find these cities today, the city of Tyre and the city of Sidon. These were completely Gentile cities. Yes, well, there could have been a few Jews up there, but not very many. This is overwhelmingly Gentile pagan territory. You know what this means is Jesus has stirred the waters. Jesus' ministry has spread. And now that he's gone into overwhelmingly Gentile pagan territory, word has spread that man, that rabbi, the man from Nazareth, Jesus has come to our area. And in that region, there was a Canaanite woman with a sick child. Let's stop here and just remind ourselves of who the Canaanites were. In the Old Testament, the Canaanites were the very epitome of evil. They were the epitome of religion that was opposed to Almighty God. Their religion was a religion built on bloodshed, perversion, immorality, promiscuity, and rampant, depraved idolatry. Which is why when God said, "I'm going to give you the promised land, the land of Canaan," when you go into that region, when you find the Canaanites, they are so perverted, they are so debased, they are so evil, you are not just to defeat them, you are to wipe them out. You do not want to live around the Canaanites because they will drag you down spiritually. They will lead you into the cesspool of moral compromise. So here's a Canaanite woman. Now we're hundreds of years later, right? We're 1,500 years past the time of Moses and Joshua. And yet there are still Canaanites. We would say now, descendants of the Canaanites. This woman was raised among the Canaanites. She was one of them. She was a pagan. She was a worshiper of the idols of that day. And she's got a sick daughter. And she hears that Jesus, who heals the sick, Jesus the Jew, the Jewish rabbi, Jesus the Jew, has come into her region. She's got a sick child, and there's nothing that the doctors in Tyre and Sidon can do for her. She has no doubt tried all the local remedies. She's begged for help, but her child, her daughter, is demonized. I got a question for you. What are the chances Jesus is going to help a woman like this? She was a pagan, not a Jew. She was a woman, not a man. She had a demonized daughter. Jesus was her last hope. You see, Baal didn't even really exist. He was, if anything, there were demons behind Baal, but Baal was not God. And worshiping him was to worship a demon. Baal was no help at all. And because her child was sick, and you may say, why didn't she go down to Capernaum and meet Jesus down in the land of Israel? Well, she couldn't travel because her daughter was demonized. And let's face it, in that day as in ours, racial prejudice was a very real thing. The Jews were extremely suspicious of anybody who came from Canaanite territory. But now, this is the only time, this is the only time Jesus ever came into her region. But now Jesus has come to where this woman is. He is her last hope, her only chance. One writer said, the river of mercy was flowing in her direction, and she took advantage of it, which is why she began to shout. She comes to him, and she begins to shout, Lord, have mercy. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is tormented by a demon. Every parent understands this. If you are a mom or a dad, I want to ask you a question. How far will you go? How far will you go when your children get sick? How far will you go if your child is diagnosed with some dread disease? If cancer hits, or your child is hurt in an automobile accident or some other kind of tragedy, how far will you go? And you know what the answer is? It's not a matter of time or of distance or of money. If you're a mom or a dad and your child is sick, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. A gifted physician who's helped thousands of people told me, Ray, if your child is sick, the parents don't care about new drugs. They don't want to hear about x-rays or MRIs or percentages or research protocols. He said to me, people just want to know one thing. Is my child going to be all right? I've got a question here. How'd this daughter of a Canaanite woman get demonized? And the answer is, we don't know. Was there some occult thing involved? Was it something to do with the worship of idols? We don't know. And for this story, it doesn't matter. What we need to know is that no medicine could cure her, because her problem was spiritual. The cure, therefore, must be supernatural. We love miracle stories because they have happy endings. But this one sure starts in a strange way. Jesus' response to this woman seems peculiar and maybe even cruel. Did our Lord not believe her story? Did he not care about her daughter? Here's a question I got for you. Was Jesus mean? There are people who read this story and say, Jesus is not just being mean, he's cruel. This is a horrible way to treat people. And I agree, it does seem that way on the surface. But remember this, Jesus always treated people as individuals. He treated Nicodemus one way, and Zacchaeus another way, and the rich young ruler another way, and the man who was lowered through a ceiling the other way, and the deaf mute, he treated yet another way. You see, Jesus is infinitely creative. He's the Lord who knows every situation. He's the Lord who understands the need of the body and of the soul. Jesus met people where they were. And though, I'm just going to leave it hanging right here, though it seems as if Jesus is being cruel, mean, or insensitive, he's not. He's trying to wake up this woman's faith, bring her to a place where she will believe. Okay, so just hold it right there. There's some good news coming, but we got to get to it. So hold on. The break is right upon us. And once we get back from the break, we're going to unravel some more threads from this story. Stay tuned, folks. You are listening to Keep Believing on American Family Radio. My name is Ray Pritchard. We'll be right back.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman, I've traveled a lot. I've met with people from all over the country.
Riley has served as the director of the AFA Foundation for over a decade.
The most rewarding thing about my job is that we get to build relationships through our donors and our supporters and get to have that personal relationship with them.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity benefits you and helps ensure the AFA will impact America for generations to come. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
Hi, I'm Mark Harrington, founder of the pro-life group Created Equal and host of Activist Radio, The Mark Harrington Show. Created Equal is all about saving the lives of unborn children. Each week, I cover the latest pro-life news and feature interviews with unsung heroes from across the nation who are making a difference for the cause of life, liberty, and justice. Join me every Sunday afternoon at 5:30 for The Mark Harrington Show here on American Family Radio and discover how you, too, can help protect the lives of the most innocent among us.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute. No way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
The following are real-life stories from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt.
I used my credit cards as a source of income.
It was not a good situation.
I couldn't pay my bills.
The interest on the cards was really high.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
I initially was scared to call, and immediately I felt relief.
They contacted all of our creditors, and they put us on a plan for success.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
I've been able to pay off close to $15,000.
We're doing a lot better.
Please pick up the phone and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
It's a godsend.
We're debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Welcome back to Keep Believing. My name is Ray Pritchard. Glad to have you with us here on this beautiful Wednesday morning. We're talking about four women who met Jesus this week. And by the way, let me recommend a good book for you if you want to read some more about this. Irwin and Rebecca Lutzer have written a wonderful book called Jesus, Lover of a Woman's Soul. Jesus, Lover of a Woman's Soul. For many years, 36, in fact, Dr. Lutzer was pastor of the Great Moody Church in Chicago. He and Rebecca together studied Jesus and the women he met and the women he knew and wrote the book, Jesus, Lover of a Woman's Soul. I think you will find that book tremendously encouraging. So Irwin and Rebecca Lutzer, Jesus, Lover of a Woman's Soul, highly recommended. Monday, we talked about the woman caught in the act. Yesterday, the woman with a thirsty heart. Today, the woman with a sick daughter. Tomorrow, the woman who shocked the men. Friday, our prayer time. So here's where we are in this story from Matthew 15. I mean, this woman has a sick daughter, demonized. Nobody can help her. Jesus has come to Gentile pagan territory. Very unusual. He didn't often leave Israel. He was in Jewish territory most of his ministry, but now here's the only time that he ever went north into the region of Tyre and Sidon. And this woman does what any of us would have done. She hears Jesus is coming. He's here. And she comes and she shouts and she will not stop shouting. And the disciples want to push her away and Jesus doesn't even answer. So two key questions here. Question one. Why was Jesus silent? Matthew is very clear. He says in Matthew 15, verse 23, Jesus did not answer a word. She was shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David." He didn't answer. He didn't answer. Nothing terrifies the soul like the silence of heaven. It happens to all of us sooner or later. We've all been there. You're praying about something. Your heart is breaking. It is so heavy. You pray, and it feels like the words are bouncing off the ceiling and hitting you on the head. You pray, and the heavens are as brass. You pray, and there's no answer at all. In that moment when that happens, and friend, if it has not yet happened to you, it will. We all go through those moments when there seems to be no answer. In those moments, you must not give in to your feelings, because your feelings will tell you you're wasting your time. You're not, but you must talk back to your feelings and say, no, I will not give up. Listen carefully to the next sentence. Jesus did not speak, but he heard everything this woman said, and his heart was moved by her plea. We'll see that in a moment. His silence, you see, had a purpose. God's silence does not always mean God's refusal, and that's a mistake we often make. Well, if I don't get an answer, it must mean God isn't going to answer, or he hasn't heard, or he doesn't care. Maybe God is angry with me. So understand, God's silence does not always mean God's refusal. His no doesn't always mean no. It often means not this, not now, not yet. Now, to the disciples, this woman was a nuisance, and that's very clear. They see this woman, and she's shouting, and she won't stop, and she keeps on shouting, and she is disrupting everything. And so they're trying to shush her up, and this woman is not going to be shushed up. They tell her stop, and she's not going to stop. It's clear from what the Bible says that she was shouting, and she kept on shouting, and the more they try to stop her, the more determined she became. You wonder, was there a bit of prejudice involved? These Jewish men, all the disciples, all the apostles were Jewish. You wonder, was there a little bit of anti-Gentile prejudice here? You wonder, if this woman had been a Jewish mother, would they have reacted the same way? Well, listen to this story. There's another sub-question under here. Why doesn't God answer our prayers the first time we pray? How come we have to pray and pray and pray? Why didn't Jesus just respond the very first time? The very first time this woman asked. Well, here's my answer. There's many answers to the bigger question. Why doesn't God answer our prayers the first time? But I think primarily the answer is, if God answered our prayers the first time we prayed them, being human, we just take God for granted, as if he was some kind of cosmic slot machine and you put in a prayer and pull the lever and out comes the answer. No, what God wants is a relationship with you and me. I want to remind you what James 5:16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, the fervent prayers, James says, it avails much. The effective, fervent prayers of righteous men and women, they have great power with God. The word fervent there is a Greek word that it means energetic. It can mean, and it was used for boiling water. The boiling prayers of the righteous have great power with God. And you say, Pastor Ray, what's a boiling prayer? All right, listen to me. Listen. Now, let me tell you what it's not. It has nothing to do with whether you sit or stand, whether you lay down, whether you raise your hands or fold them. It has nothing to do with whether your eyes are open or closed. It has nothing to do with how long you pray or how loud you pray, or whether you repeat yourself when you pray. It doesn't have anything to do with whether you hold hands with somebody else and have a prayer circle when you pray. No, boiling prayers are prayers that come from the heart. It's not about the outward manifestation. Let me illustrate it. If you're a mom or a dad and you've got a four-year-old child who has a defective heart valve, and the doctors say, if we don't operate, your your child is going to die. But it's a risky operation. But there's no other option. Let me just say it to you this way. When they take your daughter away, when they wheel her away for surgery, and you know what is hanging in the balance, you will pray a boiling prayer. And nobody's going to have to tell you what to do then. You may have your eyes closed or open. You may not even actually say anything audibly, but I guarantee you in that desperate moment, you will pray a boiling prayer. So, who understands this better than the mother of a sick child? She'll stop at nothing. She will not take no for an answer. She will carry her daughter from one doctor to another. She will ask her friends to pray. She'll write about it on Facebook. She will beg God with tears to work a miracle from heaven. So I've got a good friend whose three-year-old son, some years ago, had a terrible accident where something like a knife got stuck into his eye. It's hard to think about that. Terribly, not only painful and scary, but extremely dangerous. And they took the child to the doctor, and they were able to extract whatever it was that was in his eye. But they said, we're not sure he'll ever have vision in that eye again. And the father told me, I laid down on the floor and I wept and I begged God, Lord, take the sight from one of my eyes if you need to, but let my son be okay. Nothing renders us more helpless than watching our children suffer. We beg and plead and bargain with God for our own flesh and blood. What else can you do when your kids are suffering? In those dreadful hours, we don't care what others think or say or how they whisper behind our back or try to stop us. Nothing matters except seeing our child made whole again. You see, Jesus is putting this woman's faith on trial. Will she turn away in despair? Or will she keep on asking? So let me say it to you again. Delay does not always mean denial. There was a yes hidden under the no, but she had to show the faith that would get to it. Did you hear what I just said? There was a yes hidden under the no, but she had to show the faith that would get to it. Why is that? Because faith only grows when it's tested. And you need to write that down. Maybe think about it. Faith only grows when it's tested. Her faith was made stronger by the travail of her soul. Because when God delays a blessing, he does not thereby deny it. The denial may be necessary preparation to receive it later. So let's learn from this. And we're still early in this story. Pray on, child of God. Pray on, mom. Pray on, dad. Pray on, grandparents. Pray on, Christian friend, and never give up. The tiniest whisper on earth is shouted in the courts of heaven. And when the time is right, in God's time and in God's way, the answer will come. Okay, but that brings us to the greatest challenge of this story, this second question. First one was, why was Jesus silent? And I've already answered. I've said he did it in order to expose this woman's faith, to raise her faith. But why did he call her a dog? Lord, that's pretty rough. Why did you say that? Verse 26, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. That's what he said to this woman. Can you imagine that? He's calling her a dog. Now, maybe it softens the blow a little bit to know that the Greek word that's translated dog means it means a little dog. You could translate it to the puppies, okay? And maybe that helps a little bit. But understand, you know, our modern practice of having dogs as pets. It's not that that didn't happen in the first century. It did, but not as nearly as widespread as today. I don't know that she would have thought this was much of an encouragement. It is not right to to take the children's bread. And by the way, who are the kids? It's not right to take the kids' bread and toss it to the dogs. Now, those of you who feed your dogs around the table, there are some of us who do that. Marlene and I, we got ourselves a pandemic puppy. We would not have gotten it except for the pandemic. My wife didn't even know this, but I'd been thinking we needed a dog anyway. And I decided it's going to be a girl dog. And I already picked out her name. It's going to be Sadie. This doesn't really happen much in our family, but it did happen a couple of years ago during the pandemic. Marlene said, maybe we're a month or two into it, you know. My wife said, let's get a dog. Because we were just at home like everybody was in those early weeks. We were just at home all the time. And, you know, you get kind of lonely. And Marlene said, let's get a dog. And I surprised her. I said, yeah, I've been thinking about that. And I want it to be a girl. And Marlene was surprised at that. And I said, her name's going to be Sadie. Now I said, well, okay. Well, through a series of circumstances, we got Sadie. She's now 2.5. Is she 2.5? Is that right? A little old, not quite 2.5, but moving toward 2.5 years old. She's an Aussie doodle, combination Australian shepherd and standard poodle. This is another story for another time, but she's got more energy than any dog we've ever had. Probably was too much dog for us, but we didn't know it then, and we wouldn't trade her now for $1 million. She's just become part of our family. And when we eat at night, she'll come and put her, and we feed her well, people, but she'll come and put her nose between my legs because she knows that between me and Marlene, if she comes to me, she's much more likely to get crumbs from the table, something, you know, a little piece of bread or something like that. What Jesus, I mean, we all understand this, okay? I'm just saying that to illustrate this story, that even if Jesus means tossing the bread to the puppies, what are you saying here? It still sounds pretty difficult. The point is the kids come first. The kids come first. Kids come before dogs. Now, underneath this, let's grab two truths here. Number one, Jesus was and is the Jewish Messiah. He came because God the Father sent him. He came in fulfillment of all the messianic promises of the Old Testament. He came as the King of the Jews. He came as the Messiah of Israel. That's why verse 24 says, I came for the lost sheep of Israel. That's right there in the Bible. And yet you read down further in Romans, what did Paul say? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jews first, but also to the Greeks. We can say it this way. He came first for the Jews, but he did not come only for the Jews. The Lord starts with the Jews, but he does not stop there. So in this story, this miracle story, who are the children? Well, these are the Jewish people of that day, the Jewish people of Israel. It's not right to take the bread that was meant for the children around the table and give it to the Gentile dogs, which is exactly how the Jews felt about the Gentile nations around them. They called them Gentile dogs. So Jesus is actually adopting the language of the Jewish people here. So number one, Jesus is the Jewish Messiah. But number two, and this is what we're going to get into after the break, Jesus wants this woman to understand her true condition. Now, ding, 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 pay attention, folks. This is where we come in. No one has any claim on God's goodness. No one deserves heaven. No one does. We all like to compare ourselves, but friends, God doesn't grade on the curve. In the end, this miracle story is a great lesson in the grace of God. And good news, friends, good news, no matter who you are or where you are, there is grace for you today. Now, I want you to stay tuned. Coming up after the break, we're going to wrap this story up. You're listening to Keep Believing on American Family Radio.
Thank you. What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
There are some horrendous things that have been taking place.
Bishop E.W. Jackson.
But, the good news is that God is still on the throne. Jesus is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Tune in to The Awakening, weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
He said in the world you would have tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. And that's the way we've got to approach all this stuff.
You ever make a change and then think, why didn't I do this years ago? Well, that's how people feel about switching to MediShare for their healthcare, especially now with inflation the way it is. People are very happy with the savings. Most families save about $500 a month when they switch. It's a huge help when prices are going up so fast in so many other areas. And MediShare's customer satisfaction rate is double that of health insurance. It's just a different experience, and people really like that. MediShare is an alternative to health insurance. It's a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills, and it's been going strong for over 25 years. It really is the gold standard, the most trusted name in healthcare sharing. Find out why people love it. Find out why they rave about the customer service, and find out how good it feels to save some money right now. They're super easy to talk to. Here's the number. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
My wife's aunt passed away, and we received a considerable inheritance from that. We heard on American Family Radio about the opportunity to participate in a charitable gift annuity. We talked to the people at AFA Foundation, Riley, Chelsea, and their crew that they work with, and they were very caring, very easy to work with, and with no pressure whatsoever. They guided us through the process and made it a very easy thing to do.
See if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
What excites us about the charitable gift annuity is we will always have income coming in. It will be steady. We won't outlive it.
The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Keep Believing. My name is Ray Pritchard. Glad to have you with us here on this Wednesday morning. Just a reminder, you can go to our podcast section and download, listen to any of the programs on Keep Believing. Go to AFR.net, click on Podcasts at the top, and then come on down to Keep Believing. It's a long drop-down menu, but you'll find Keep Believing. Click on that, and then you can listen to any of our programs online, download any of them for free, listen on your own device at your convenience. Four women who met Jesus this week. Monday, the woman caught in the act. Tuesday, the woman with a thirsty heart. Today, the woman with a sick daughter. Tomorrow, the woman who shocked the men. And then Friday, our weekly prayer time. Okay, so we're deep in the weeds of this story, this wonderful, amazing, shocking story of Jesus calling a Gentile woman, a Canaanite woman, calling her a dog, because that's really what all of that means. Why did Jesus call her a dog? Number one, he's reminding her why he came. He's the Jewish Messiah. But number two, and on a deeper level, he wants her to understand her true condition. And that, friends, is where you and I come in. Because nobody has a claim on God's goodness. Nobody deserves heaven. We all understand, or I hope we do, if you get what you deserve and I get what I deserve on our own, apart from the grace of God, we will all end up in hell. Hard for us to hear because we all think we're better and we like to compare to each other. I am a sinner, but boy, not like that guy on the corner, man, you see what he does? You see how he treats people? We always like to compare, but we never compare ourselves to anybody better. We always compare ourselves to somebody else and think we look better compared to them. But friends, God does not grade on the curve. He does not. So when he says it's not right to give the children's bread, take the children's bread and give it to the dogs, here's what he's saying to this Gentile, this Canaanite woman, this woman who comes from a long background of idolatry and evil paganism. Ma'am, do you understand? You are completely outside the covenant of grace. The Jews, for whatever faults they had, at least they were. The covenant was given to them. The promise God made to Abraham in the Mosaic Law, that was given to the Jewish people. Now, ma'am, do you understand? You're a Canaanite. You can't even get in that way. You have no claim on me at all. And Jesus is really saying, I can heal your daughter. And listen, I am willing to do it, but only if you acknowledge you don't deserve it. You can get your miracle, but it will be by grace, or it won't happen at all. So what seems on the surface to be an insult turns out to be a very probing question. It's another way of asking, do you admit you are a sinner in desperate need of God's grace? I remember reading somewhere, Francis Schaeffer in one of his books, might be The God Who Is There, but I'm not sure. I read it some years ago. Francis Schaeffer said the hardest thing about dealing with modern man is to get modern man to admit he's a sinner, because man doesn't want to admit that. He said, this is the part I remember. He said, so I have understood now that if I'm dealing with a man or a woman of the modern mindset, and I'm on a train, and I've got 1 hour until we get to the station, and he's talking to me about what I believe, and he wants to hear my message. He said, if I had an hour, I'd spend 45 minutes talking about sin, righteousness, death, and judgment, to establish the fact that the man is truly morally guilty in the eyes of a holy God. And he said, I would use the last 15 minutes to give him the good news of the gospel. Said another way, you got to get a person lost before you can get them saved. So Jesus is asking, ma'am, do you understand you don't deserve anything from me? Do you understand the only thing that can help your daughter is my grace? You understand you got no claim on me? And that's what's true of that woman's true of you and me. If you answer, yes, I am a sinner and I have no claim on you, then you can do business with God. But as long as you hold on to the flimsy rags of your self-righteousness, you can never be saved. That is why grace, I believe, is the hardest doctrine for anyone to believe. It's the hardest. Why? Because the grace of God means we got to accept two things. Number one, that you cannot save yourself. There's nothing in the world you can do to save yourself. That's number one. And then you got to admit only God can save you. Number one, I got to say, Lord, I can't do it. And number two, I got to say, Lord, only you can. That leads you to the grace of God. But that's a hard thing, because we don't want to, particularly that first part, we don't want to admit there is nothing we can do. Nothing. So here then is the shocking truth of this story. Stay tuned now, right here. Shocking truth of this story. You're a dog, and so am I. I repeat myself. You are a dog, and so am I. Now, you may be a poodle, and I may be a basset hound. It doesn't matter. We are all like puppies running around under the table begging for some crumbs from God. You see, if you think you deserve God's grace, you can never have it, and you'll never find it. If you admit you don't deserve it, you can have as much as you need. So here's a wonderful part of the story. This ought to give us a lot of hope. When Jesus says, it's not right to take the kid's bread and give it to the dogs, she doesn't argue. She agrees with Jesus. She's not angry. She's not upset. She doesn't fire back some, how dare you talk to me that way? In fact, she says, yes, Lord. And notice in this story, three different times, this Canaanite woman, this unlikely woman from such an unlikely pagan background. Three times she calls Jesus Lord. Verse 22, Lord, Son of David. Verse 25, Lord, help me. Verse 27, yes, Lord. She certainly could have done what a lot of people would have done. She could have gotten indignant and said, don't you talk to me that way. I'm no dog. Many people would have responded that way, but she didn't. She agreed with Jesus. So write it down. Write it down, friends. If we want to end in the right place, we got to start in the right place. And agreeing with Jesus is always the right place to begin. So think about what this woman did and didn't do. She never gave up. She never got angry. She never contradicted Jesus. And she never accused him of unfairness. She never took offense at being called a dog. Instead of disagreeing with his premise, she in effect says, you're right. You're right, Lord. I am a dog. I have no claim on your grace. You have no reason to listen to me at all. But now watch this. She clinches her argument this way. Verse 27. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And that's true. When Sadie has got her nose up between my legs while I'm eating, you know, Marlene's fixed this great meal. I'm not going to take a big old chunk of beef and part of the steak and give it to her. Yeah, but, you know, we had something and had some pita bread with it and warmed up pita bread. That's fabulous. But, you know, Sadie was down. And she doesn't, our dog, she just kind of puts her nose up between my legs. She doesn't bark. She doesn't whimper. She doesn't whine. She just kind of puts her nose up there. I know what she wants. And she just waits. And usually it's going to be okay. I gave her a little piece of bread, like a crumb. I didn't give her the main thing, but I gave her a little piece of the pita. And she was happy for a few seconds. And then she came back. Look, dogs may be dogs, but they will get fed. This woman is saying, Jesus, I'm not arguing with you, but Lord, even people around the table, they feed the kids, but they'll also throw crumbs. I'm just asking for a crumb of grace that will heal my daughter. She accepts her position. She admits her need. She agrees with Jesus, and she never gives up. And that leads then to the remarkable end of the story in verse 28. Woman, Jesus says, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And love this next sentence. Her daughter was healed from that very hour. Great faith. The word there that's translated great, woman, you have great faith. It's the Greek word from which we get the English mega, M-E-G-A, mega. You know, mega story, mega hit. It means something great beyond all belief. Woman, you have mega faith. This is the only time Jesus ever used this word to describe anybody's faith. He did not use it to a Jew. He said it to a Gentile, not to a Jew. He said it to a woman, not to a man. He said it to an outsider, not to an insider. He said it to a pagan who now believes, not to a priest. What are the chances that a woman like this, in a place like that, could have mega faith? But she did. And that's why Jesus praised her. Her desperation drove her to Jesus. Not even being called a dog could keep her away. Most of us would have turned away, but she didn't. Most would have given up, but she didn't. She understood what the Jews missed. Jesus was the true Son of David. She needed the mercy only he could supply. She would not be denied. She accepted her position. She argued from it, and she received what she asked from the Lord. And note, the whole focus of this story is on her faith, not on her daughter's plight. We are simply told in verse 28, the daughter is healed from that hour. As far as we know, Jesus never met her daughter. He healed her daughter based on the mother's mega faith. Bad news and good news here. Bad news. Warning to all church people. If Jesus can't find faith in Israel, he will go to the pagans. If his own people will not trust him, he will find someone who will. You know what's in this story? The very essence of the gospel. We read about the children around the table, the dogs, and we think we're the children of privilege. Oh no, We're the dogs under the table. We are outsiders to the grace of God, cut off from the blessings of heaven. But Jesus died as an outsider that we might be insiders. He died like a dog, rejected, despised, abandoned, that we might be welcomed at the table of the Lord. The Canaanite woman didn't understand everything, but she got the main point right. She needed mercy. She knew Jesus had the mercy. And when she came on Jesus' terms, she received the mercy she needed. By the way, here's a word to parents who have prodigal sons and daughters. Take heart from this story. It was this woman's faith that healed her daughter. Keep on praying for kids in trouble spiritually, grandkids in trouble spiritually. Your prayers have enormous power with God. Often when our kids and grandkids become prodigals, we feel so helpless. As long as we can pray, we have the ear of Almighty God. And our sons and daughters, they can ignore our text. They can refuse to answer the phone. They can slam the door in our face. They can curse and swear at us. They can say, get away from me, leave me alone. But they cannot stop our prayers. Let me summarize a few things we learned from this story. Number one, no one is beyond the reach of God's grace, even people who today seem hopeless and far away. No one is unreachable. Number two, when we come to God, we got to come on His terms, not on ours, by admitting we don't deserve God's grace, by admitting only Jesus can help us. Number three, anyone can have mega faith if you'll come to Jesus on His terms and never give up. So good news here at the very end. If you say, I'm not a very good Christian, this story is for you. If you say, I don't know very much, this story is for you. If you say, I didn't go to seminary, this story is for you. I'm struggling to believe, this story is for you. I need a miracle, this story is for you. You say, I don't feel qualified, this story is for you. Martin Luther loved this story. He said it's a picture of how God deals with us. He hides His grace. He said, look, this woman, she put aside her feelings. She argued with Jesus. She won the argument. Her daughter was healed, and Jesus was pleased. She got more than the crumbs she asked for. She got the whole loaf. Anybody out there facing desperate circumstances, anybody out there feeling like this woman, anybody wonder why heaven is silent? Here's my whole message right here. Be like this woman. Be like her. Let your desperation drive you to Jesus. Whatever you are facing, don't give up on Jesus. Come to Him. Come with the empty hands of faith. He in His grace and mercy will not turn you away. So then let us keep on praying. Lord, help me, because as He helped that Canaanite woman, He will surely help us too. So forgive us, Lord, for doubting You. Forgive us, Lord, for giving up too soon. Give us mega faith like this Canaanite woman. Teach us, please, Lord, to pray and not to faint. That's our prayer today. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. So be encouraged. Be encouraged. Anyone can come to Jesus. Come in simple faith. Come believing. Come admitting you need God's grace. Come with open hands. You will not be turned away. So, we got one more tomorrow. The woman who shocked the men. I want you to come back and hear that. What great stories. Jesus and women. Thanks for listening today. This program is called Keep Believing. My name is Ray Pritchard. See you back here tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.